If you're ready to say yes to your wealthiest and most abundant life, overflowing bank accounts, and a deep sense of inner fulfillment, well, then you are definitely in the right place. Welcome to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, Helena Grace Donald, and I'm a money mindset expert, success, and business coach. But really, all you need to know is that I am obsessed with helping women feel safe and in total flow around money. So let's do this. Today, I have my friend Maggie Collette joining me on the podcast, and I invited Maggie to come and have an interview with me because she's just honestly a breath of fresh air. And she's a powerful manifester. People actually call her Magic Maggie. She's the kind of woman that will just be sitting in a restaurant and magically manifest free glasses of champagne wherever she goes. She's also a total Instagram queen, and she has built an incredible online platform called @ThinkLikeABoss. Go check it out on Instagram, @ThinkLikeABoss. And she really helps other female entrepreneurs share their message on this incredible platform. I'm so grateful for Instagram. But there is a little bit of an algorithm to it, and it can feel like it's sometimes totally up against you. And she's really amazing at breaking it down and helping you take control of it so that you can spread your message far and wide. So today we're going to talk all things manifestation, showing up online, and even the ups and downs that Maggie has been through over the last few weeks and how she used her mindset to really stay calm and stay grounded. Hi, Maggie. I'm so excited to have you over on the podcast today.
Thank you, Helena. I'm so excited to be on here. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. And I don't think you even know this story, but Maggie and I both had the same business coach. So Maggie was coming over to LA. I was following all of her stories. And Maggie is magic, and we'll explain why in a moment. But she was manifesting left, right, and center. She was playing games with herself, like, how much can I manifest today? What more magic juju can I create? She would walk into restaurants and people would be sending her free champagne. That is how tapped in Maggie is to her law of attraction and manifestation toolkit. So Maggie, have you always been a powerful manifester, or is this something that you've harnessed within yourself?
No, firstly, I have to give credit where credit's due. And firstly, I just want to say thanks to Gabby Bernstein because she taught me everything I know through reading her books. But no, on a serious note, no, I haven't. I think it's really been in the last kind of 2 years. So 2 to 3 years since I decided to launch my own business, and then I really got into personal development. I came across The Secret, read The Secret, watched the video. Then I think the second book I ever read was actually Gabby Bernstein, The Universe Has Your Back. It was almost like I'd been enlightened to this whole other world. So over the last couple of years, you know, I'm quite spiritual, very trusting. And I just believe that, you know, there is so much abundance out there in the world. So why can't I have whatever I want, you know?
I love that. Yes. And why can't we claim what we want and own it as women? Because I think there's a lot of women out there who are afraid to say what they want. But what I loved about watching these stories, first of all, you were speaking my language. And I was like, I love that Maggie is claiming that she's a powerful manifester, because the more you were claiming it, it almost felt like the more you were receiving.
100%. And when you claim it, you're really standing in your power and you're kind of saying, hey girl, hey universe, listen up. I'm here. I'm ready to receive. And receiving is so, so, so important. Like being aligned, super aligned to what it is that you want, claiming it and saying, I know this is happening. I know this is happening. I'm trusting. And then before you know it, what you want is happening. The universe has your back and the world is working for you.
Absolutely. So let's rewind. Let's go back to the beginning, because I know what you're doing now lights you up and you're helping support so many women in their lives and businesses, and you're spreading your magic mainly through Instagram. So go check her out on Instagram @ThinkLikeABossCo. We'll be dropping all of her handles below. But I know a little bit about your story, and I'd love you to share it with my listeners about how you even got to where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So I took the normal route in terms of higher education. So I went to school, went to university, came out of uni, started applying for graduate jobs. And in all honesty, I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I was 22. I had to make this kind of, you know, major life decision. And the only thing I knew was that I wanted to move to London because all my uni friends had all got jobs down there. So I was applying for grad jobs. My parents were like, oh, you know, you want to get a good job with a big corporate, you should go work in a bank, which is exactly what I did. So I landed my first grad job, and that first job suddenly became fast forward 11 years and I was still kind of doing the same thing, but just working way longer hours, way more stressed. And it really started to take a toll on my health. And I was like, do you know what? I had a major wake-up call on an aeroplane en route to Mexico City back in probably four years ago now, so 2016. Collapsed on a plane, was burnt out, had exhaustion, and got there. And I was like, what the hell am I doing with my life? Like, I'm really sick. I don't feel well. I'm stressed out. I have anxiety. Like, this is not what I visualized for myself at the age of 32. So I came back, went to see the doctor. The doctor signed me off and basically said, if you don't change your lifestyle, then you will have a heart attack by the age of 35. And I was like, what? And this was like a major, major wake-up call. Because this incident that happened on the plane was not a one-off. There had been several incidents like that. And that was kind of the wake-up call I needed. And that kind of made me open my eyes and actually ask myself, you know, who am I? What do I even like to do? Because all I know is that I'm super stressed. I'm struggling to sleep. I don't enjoy what I'm doing. I hate turning on my BlackBerry on a Monday morning. It was giving me, it was giving me palpitations. And I couldn't even say who I was. So when I went back to work a couple of weeks later, I handed in my notice. I resigned. I had a 3-month notice period. I worked that period. And by that point, I was living in Switzerland, in Geneva, and quit. And then I basically went traveling for 6 months because I just needed to take time out and not do anything and just feel the sun on my face and just kind of not even think. So I spent 6 months traveling around Asia, which was amazing. Came back to the UK. By that point, I had already started a luxury travel blog about 18 months previously as a hobby that I really wasn't expecting anything from. That was doing really well. I was securing campaigns with luxury brands. I was doing lots of PR and social media. And I was like, do you know what? I think I could take elements of this and create a whole new career for myself. So I hired my first coach, decided I wanted to become a coach as well. I started out coaching bloggers, and then over the course of the last kind of 2.5 years, I've chopped and changed niches. So, you know, I've done life coaching, business coaching, mindset coaching, and now I am absolutely obsessed with the platform that we all know and love, Instagram. And I'm really incredible at Instagram. And now I'm just teaching the world how to boss up, change their life, change their business, and really have fun with Instagram.
Wow. Okay. I have so many questions within that. We have to go back to the beginning, and then I'm going to work my way through all these questions that I want to ask. Let's go back to this Maggie who is overworked, tired, exhausted, doesn't even really truly know who she is and what she wants. What do you believe in hindsight was the driving force that was continuing that motion, that feeling stuck and feeling overworked? Was there a driving force behind that?
I think the reason why I probably did it for so long, and it took, you know, health issues to actually make me wake up and open my eyes. I think for so long it had been drilled into my head, you know, you need to work. You can only be successful if you work for a big corporation like a bank. And your parents are so proud of you because you have this high-flying corporate role, you travel the world, you're constantly staying in 5-star hotels. You know, to the outside person, they would have looked at my file on paper and thought, she has the dream job. And I think that's what probably kept me in it for so long, was that I was constantly striving to hit the next level, striving to hit the next income level. I'd become accustomed to, you know, a great standard of living. And then at some point I realized that actually it doesn't matter how much money you make, if you're doing something that you really don't enjoy doing and that you really can't stand and that is stressing you out, then it's just not worth it.
Absolutely. And there was this driving belief behind it going, in order for me to be successful, then this is what it has to look like. So if you can tell, I'm trying to dive into what were some of those money mindset beliefs that you were taught growing up? And then we can get into how those have massively shifted for you in life.
So my parents, you know, love my parents. They're amazing. Both had very different backgrounds, especially my mum. So she's from Peru originally and her family were very poor growing up. And I definitely witnessed that in my early years. So up until the age of about 10, I saw that level of poverty. So that was definitely always in the back of my mind, was I don't want to be like some of my family members, you know, I don't want to have the same kind of upbringing as them and any future generations. I don't want anyone to have to go through that extreme poverty. So that was my driving force behind, okay, get this corporate job, stick it out, hit six figures and just keep going and keep going and keep going, because I associated money and wealth with working really hard and working for someone else rather than for myself.
Yeah. So it's almost like you'd formed these beliefs, but they were out of alignment with who Maggie truly was. Does that ring true?
Yeah, 100%. But to be honest, I didn't even know who I was until I just had that wake-up call and I was forced to slow down and stop. Do you know, I think the pinnacle moment was I woke up after I'd fainted and my legs were in the air being held up by two air hostesses and they were looking down on me and they were like, are you okay? And I was like, what just happened? And they were like, it's okay, it's fine, you just passed out. And I was looking up at them and then, you know, I was on the floor for ages and then I was just kind of gathering my thoughts. And I looked at them and I was like, I can't believe this is what my life has come to. Like, this is not how it's going to be. I'm not allowing this to happen again. Like, no, there has to be another way. That was my first thing. There has to be another way.
Yeah. And there was another way. And thank God in some ways that breaking point propelled you to create a whole new reality for yourself. So what was that journey like? Because I think, first of all, so many women that I talk to do have this belief that in order to reach and achieve their goals, it's going to take a hell of a lot of hard work, because that probably was what they did see and experience growing up. So it does one of two things. Either they do overwork themselves, reach burnout, and become completely out of alignment with what they actually wanted in the first place, or it blocks them forever actually reaching for those goals because they've already decided, well, I can't have that because I don't want to have to work that hard. And it's all just tied up in this belief. So you unraveled this belief and created this whole new reality for yourself. What was that journey like?
It was like the beginning. I'd say the first year was hard because I didn't have the support that I necessarily wanted. So kind of friends, family, parents were like, you know, what's wrong? Are you having a midlife crisis? How are you just throwing your career down the drain? You spent 11 years building it up, working to this level. How they just could not comprehend. And I think because they hadn't endured it and they hadn't gone through the levels of stress that I had. And also, I wasn't completely transparent either with the health issues that I'd been having, just because I didn't want that added pressure. But everyone just thought I was going crazy. And for like that first year, I was just completely calm. And I was like, I know you think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I really just need to do this for me. And I know I can make it work. And I have that belief in myself. And I just need you to support me. And if you don't have anything, you know, if you don't have anything empowering to say, then that's fine. I'm going to go ahead and just do it anyway. So the first year was hard in terms of, I think because I was so open about it and I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. Everyone felt like they should just give me their opinion and everybody was of the same opinion that I was crazy. But looking back now, I see it as I'm a risk taker. I always have been. And if you really want something, you have to just go out there and give it a go. Because if you don't know, you will have so many regrets and you don't want to look back in years to come and think, I wish I'd done that, or I wish I'd taken a chance on myself, and then wake up and realize that you're still in the same position now that you were in 5-10 years ago, and you're still just as unhappy. So it was difficult from an emotional perspective, not having that support. In terms of actually starting a business, you know, I think unless you have that support right from the get-go, you are kind of approaching it a bit gung-ho. So you're just, you know, you're trying to get visible, you're trying to put yourself out there, you're trying to learn about your craft, you're trying to gain confidence. Like the first time I did a Facebook Live, probably the first 50 times, I was like, oh my God, I was literally dripping in sweat by the end of it because I was so nervous. And now, my goodness, you know, even after about 3 months, I was so comfortable afterwards. But you do have to do things that take you out of your comfort zone. It's how you learn and it's how you grow. So yeah, it's definitely been a roller coaster of a journey, but it's been the most incredible roller coaster of a journey. And I would also say to anyone out there who's thinking of starting up their own business or changing career or doing something different, is you don't need to tell the world what you're doing. You can absolutely keep that to yourself, especially if you don't think you're necessarily going to get that support. Because when you first go out into this world, you need to almost try and have your boundaries and block out any negative energy and just focus on what your mission is and just giving it your everything without having other people in your ear or without having those kind of, you know, distractions, shall we say.
I'm so glad you said that because I totally agree with this. And it's something that I was teaching on a masterclass recently because I think maybe there's this notion and, you know, we see the empowering quotes on Instagram, like shout it from the mountaintops and you've got this and go do it, babe. And yes, I agree with that. And it's all true. But in the beginning, we're fragile because it's messy in the beginning. And we're working on our own mindset at the same time. Like all of our confidence fears are coming up. Our visibility fears are coming up. Our money mindset is coming up. And we're starting something new. And so I believe until you feel very, very solid and you've created that solid foundation within yourself of this is happening, this is it, I'm here, I know what I'm doing, and I know what my aim is, I think you do have to be a little protective ninja on who you share it with, because you don't want those seeds of doubt actually fermenting and becoming stronger than they need to be in the beginning, because you're already dealing with your own inner little Miss Critical and little Miss Fear. And I think that's enough to deal with, to be honest.
Definitely. And also people project a lot. So when they do kind of give you their opinion, if it's not what you want to hear, 9 times out of 10, it's how they actually feel. And they're scared and it's their deepest fears coming up, which is why they're then saying, what are you doing? You know, this is crazy. Don't do this, because they're scared themselves. So in a way, the smaller you keep your circle, especially in those early, you know, those first few months, the better.
Yeah, I completely agree. What were some of the mindset shifts that you remember were really big for you that you had to make during that time? Because here you are, you had a very successful career earning top dollar. What was it like to go from that to suddenly I'm in charge of my own paycheck and this is me being the face of this business?
I mean, like at the beginning, I kind of said to myself, right, I'm coming out of this and I know that I'm going from this amazing salary to zero pretty much, you know, for a good few months until I actually start, you know, set up my business and I start to take on clients. And I didn't even really appreciate what that mindset was even a thing until I'd already started my business. And when I started doing a lot of personal development work, and I hired a mindset coach, which, by the way, ladies, was absolutely game changing. And I cannot recommend this enough. And I would say, if you're looking to start a business, hire a mindset coach before you start your business, before you hire a business coach, for instance.
Preach, sister. Yes.
Honestly, that was fundamental to really helping instill the belief in me that I have now. But before I hired my mindset coach, I was like, oh my God, mindset is a thing. How did I survive 11 years in private banking in a really cutthroat industry and not know anything about mindset, about the power of positive thinking, positive thoughts, affirmation, you know, programming. I was really amazed that I'd managed to get to the level I got without having done any mindset work. And then I just threw myself into it. So when I first started out with my mindset routine, I was doing it for 2 hours a day just to try and build it up, because I was like, I was so committed and determined to really just believing in myself as much as possible and trying to rewire and reprogram myself. And then I invested in a mindset coach, which for me was just, as I said before, was absolutely game changing. And I've continued those practices on. And it's, you know, part of what I teach as well with clients is, girls, before we even go into Instagram and start talking about Instagram, I need your mindset on point in relation to Instagram, and believe that Instagram is not working against you. It can work for you, but you just need to make that mindset shift. And the same applies for anything that you're doing. You need to believe in yourself, in your abilities, and that what you want to happen is going to happen, and it is all going to work in your favor.
It's so true. And I think we can so easily get so caught up with the strategy. And I get it. Like, I really do get it, because that was me. I thought that in order for my business to succeed, I needed the next best golden strategy. And when that strategy didn't work, I was like, okay, what's the next one? And it was because I was really neglecting my mindset. And it wasn't until I did what you're saying and thought, okay, my strategy is now going to be my mindset. And you spent 2 hours a day doing that. It was the same for me. It wasn't until I actually made that, hey, hang on, this is my work. Like, this is actually what is on the to-do list today, is getting my mindset on point, that I saw the massive, massive shifts in my business and my finances. So what are some of your favorite tools to keep that vibe high, to keep that mindset on point?
I really love journaling. I think journaling, being able to express not just your thoughts, but what you want your future story to be. So I'm all about my big vision, thinking about what I'm working towards next, but writing it in a way that's exciting for me. And I'm almost thinking about that next level and tapping into that and literally writing out how I want my life to pan out, how I want my week to go, how I want my month to go, how I want this year to go, the places I want to travel to, the things I want to see and do. So journaling is without doubt one of my favorite practices. I've also recently started listening to frequencies, which are so powerful.
Ooh, tell us about those.
Especially money frequencies. Like, when you listen to them, you almost feel like you're going a bit nuts, because I'm listening to this really great one by Bob Proctor at the moment. And Bob Proctor literally says the same thing on repeat. I am so happy and grateful now that money comes to me in increasing quantities through multiple sources on a continuous basis. That is the sentence on repeat through the frequency for 30 minutes, and that is all you hear. However, the power of that sentence, and especially if you listen to frequencies just before you go to bed, it really does amazing things for shifting your subconscious whilst you're asleep, and for helping you to kind of welcome and be open to receiving. So I love frequencies. Affirmations, I'm a big fan of. I always tell myself every day that I'm epic. I'm amazing.
Yeah.
I don't just say it once. I say it like 1,000 times a day. And yeah, they're kind of like my three main practices: journals, frequencies, and affirmations.
Yeah, I love that. I love a good affirmation. What is the difference then between, I guess, an affirmation or a frequency? Is a frequency that you're listening to somebody else say it, or is it that it's actually recorded at a heightened frequency, like a sound wave?
Yes, it's at a certain sound wave that actually kind of aligns and syncs with your subconscious mind. It's like really powerful. So even though that he's repeating this, the frequencies are repeating the same thing, it's the power of the sound wave together with the repetition of the affirmation that really kind of make major shift. Like, they do something to you that I'm not kind of scientific enough to be able to fully, you know, explain it, but it's all I will say is it's really, they're really powerful.
Well, I know what I'll be doing with my next recorded meditation. Hiring some kind of sound frequency designer for me. That's amazing. So you seem to maintain your vibe very, very high and just really radiate this positive energy almost 24/7. And let's get real, like, you know, I don't know the specific date of when this podcast is going to air, but we're definitely going through a shift. We are living through something that we've never seen in this lifetime. And there's a lot of fear out there. And I would love you to share your story of just what the last few weeks have been like for you. And particularly the reason I want you to share is because how you've actually managed to maintain this positive energy throughout it all and attract some seriously amazing things as a result.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I look back on the last month and I think, oh my goodness, what a roller coaster. I still can't believe it's the same 4-week period. I feel like I've probably aged about 10 years, to be honest. So it started pretty much when I flew out to LA, which was around about a month ago. And this was just as this whole pandemic was only just kind of beginning. So I landed in LA. My parents at that point were on holiday on a cruise. I think they were in India at that point. And so they'd just gone on holiday. They'd been away for about a week. I'd heard from them once. They were having a great time. Then I then flew out to LA for a business retreat and also to have, an additional week in the sun, shall we say. And then when I get to America, the immigration officer is like, Trump just announced 30 minutes ago that he has stopped flights from 27 countries, including the UK. And basically everything's going to start to go into lockdown. And I was like, okay, are you joking? And he was like, no, ma'am. And I was like, okay, does this mean I can't leave the country? And he was like, oh no, you'll be able to get out. People won't be able to get in. And I was like, okay. So left the airport. First couple of days were kind of fine. And then lockdown hit. We were kind of quarantined to the retreat house, which in fairness was, a beautiful house just off Melrose Avenue. But by this point, I hadn't heard from my parents for probably about a 6-day period where I'd heard nothing. And they weren't supposed to be at sea. They were supposed to be, I had their itinerary and their ship just seemed to have just kind of gone AWOL. And then slowly but surely, the news started filtering out. Lots of cruise ships had the virus. I was actually tracking their ship. I found this crazy website where you can actually track ships around the world. So I spotted their ship, which was just off the coast of, I think they were just going past Somalia and just kind of heading down. And I was like, they weren't even supposed to go to Africa. What the hell is their boat doing in near Somalia? I then got word from my parents to say that their ship had coronavirus. It was mass panic. By this point, they'd started cancelling flights in the US. And, the retreat I was on, the numbers were dwindling. They then shut bars and restaurants in LA. And it was just like, everything just snowballed so quickly in such a short space of time. And then I think it was on my second to last day in LA, my parents said that things had got really bad on their boat. By this point, they were in Italy, but no one was allowed off. They weren't allowed to properly dock. Everyone was confined to their cabins. They didn't know when they were going to be allowed even out off their cabin. By this point, LA had got it was just a completely different atmosphere. It was just not a nice kind of, the atmosphere was just not good. I managed to get a flight back to the UK. That was just a crazy experience in itself. I was kind of sat near people with white spacesuits on and I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, it was just like something out of a horror movie. So I get back to the UK safely, but by this point, everything's gone into lockdown. My parents are still, by this point, not in a good space mentally because I think they've been in their cabin for about a week. Oof. They haven't been able to move. They were just getting food delivered to outside their door. So I was really trying to stay as positive as I could for them because I knew that they were really feeling the stress and the impact. And then it was my birthday, which I had in quarantine style. And then I got news on my birthday that my parents were going to get released the next day, which was fantastic news. So that was all great. They flew back. We got them. It was a long old journey, but we got them back to the UK, thank goodness. And then my other half's mum and stepdad have had coronavirus. They were actually really ill for just over 2 weeks. They're just coming out the other end of it now, thank God. It's been a real crazy time. My parents are all good now. I'm fine. As soon as I knew they were back in the UK, I made a massive mental shift, as in I stopped focusing on what was happening, and I just felt so much gratitude for being alive, for being healthy, for being well, for landing back in the UK safely, for my parents being back in the UK, and for my loved ones. You know, no one has, that we know of in our immediate family or anything, has died. So there was so much to be positive for. And now my focus is very much on other women and saying, look, I know we're in this situation right now that we have no physical control of, but what we do have control of is our emotions. And as long as we are happy and healthy and we have food to eat and we have a roof over our heads, it's now time to channel that energy into doing something positive and into doing something for yourself. So, you know, there's definitely been periods of panic and periods of worry in the last month. But now I'm seeing this as, okay, for whatever reason, we are all supposed to be on lockdown and not really go out for the next few months. There's definitely benefits happening in terms of, you know, the wildlife, the earth, nature, the environment, there's less pollution. But I think it's definitely giving us all reason to take a step back, to reflect and think about how our actions are impacting, you know. And it's just about using this time that we have at home right now, because this is very unlikely to happen ever again, but to use this time to the best of our abilities and to take time to learn how to cook, to read books, to do all the things that we always put off because we're always saying that we don't have the time, you know?
Absolutely. And what a crazy story, but beautiful that you've emerged with so much gratitude for that. And I can relate to that on some levels. And, you know, I've got family spread out, stuck in different places in the world, which obviously unnerves me. We have two family members sick in hospital with it. You know, I can relate to that, but whew, staying in my gratitude, it sounds so simple. And that's why I feel like it almost sometimes goes undervalued or underrated. But as simple as me waking up every morning and looking at my four walls of my bedroom and going, what am I grateful for right now? How am I safe? How am I supported? And then I love leaning into that energy of feeling supported, because that support comes from so many energetic levels. Like, my health is supported. I'm supported emotionally by my husband being here with me. I'm supported emotionally the way I'm supporting myself emotionally. I'm also supported energetically, financially, and I have to, and I continue to remind myself how I'm energetically supported by the law of abundance and manifestation and why that is still and continues to still be at play. So how has it been for you showing up in your business? Was there a shift that had to take place, or have you just continued to honestly just show up as yourself? You hear some people go, oh, now's not the time. Don't show up in your business. Don't you dare sell. And then I'm here on the other side of going, now is the time. We have to show up. We have to, you know, show up with our light and our love. And now is actually the time to offer value. So how have you felt around that?
I think at the beginning, especially when I first got to LA, so like a month ago, I was kind of just launched my new program, and all of a sudden the world seemed to go into meltdown. And I had a massive block, in relation to content, because all the content that I scheduled for Instagram, you know, it was, of course, empowerment, motivational, but it wasn't reflective of what was going on and what my audience needed to hear. And I also felt really uncomfortable that first week kind of promoting anything. So I pulled my emails, I put a pause on them, and I almost sat back because I just wanted to see, try and understand and get my head around what was happening. And then I took that time to kind of try and get my head around it. And I was like, right, what do my audience need to hear right now? They need to hear that it is going to be okay. They need tips on how to try and get through this uncertain period, this period of change, this period of suddenly being confined to, you know, being safe at home, but not really being able to leave. So I managed to get back into my content flow. And after I got into my content flow, it was more so once I knew that my parents were safe that I felt aligned to show up again. Because, you know, there was definite fear going on inside of me, but also I was trying to think as positively as possible and trying to keep my energy at a point where it was coming from a place of love. And even though I hadn't heard from them, I knew that they were in the safest space that they could possibly be. But at that moment in time, I could not think about my business. I had to put my family first. And once that was all okay, I was like, okay, now I need to show up for my audience because my audience need me right now. So I haven't stopped showing up for them. I was doing it in a different light to begin with. It was more like, I don't understand what's happening either, but you know, we will get through it. And now I'm like, okay, ladies, this is the time to not hit pause. This is the time to pivot in your business. This is the time to get creative. This is the time where people are going to be looking up to you as well to step up as a leader. So I have had mid-April. I've had one of the most abundant months I've ever had, if I'm being completely honest.
Please be honest, because that's amazing.
Yeah, I have. And I'm really trying to emphasize the message that you still have something that can really help people. You can still serve people. There's still so much that you can share with them. People need your service. People need your talents. People need what you have to offer. But you need to be able to show them that you're here, that you're ready, that you're willing to support them. They're not going to know that if you're not showing up. So I'm really trying to encourage my audience at the moment to very much pivot, to keep showing up, to adding value, and to not hitting that pause button on selling, because the world needs you now more than they ever have before.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Again, speaking my language, because it's not about pausing, because your audience is really craving your support right now. And a lot of women, I think, maybe have a block around sales because they think, well, I'm asking for something from somebody else and I'm taking. And right now in this environment that we're in, I'm probably taking from somebody that doesn't have anything. And so we actually have to completely shift that. Sales aren't about that. Sales are an energy of giving and receiving.
Oh my goodness.
And it's a beautiful feminine energy. When you actually look at the energy of selling, it's actually a divine feminine energy because of this beautiful inflow energy of giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And so your audience is craving the value that you have to give so much more than ever. So how can you show up more so than ever with value? Because the receiving element and the, let's call it sales, although I think we need to change that word because some people just don't like the word sales, that will take care of itself. And I am personally so grateful for this time because it's actually caused me to think outside of the box and not continue with just probably the same autopilot that I probably would have continued to play with in my business. Instead, I'm going, wait, what are the new ways that I can continue to serve? What are the new ways I can offer value? And I'm just really honestly so grateful for that. But you mentioned that you had a launch. So did you pivot that launch in any way? Or did you just continue to show up with that launch in the same way?
No. So what I did was I pivoted it because this has had knock on effect, shall we say. So I was supposed to be running a retreat in South Africa next month, but obviously that has been canned now. So at the time when my current new program was supposed to, I put it into a short window of doing a 5-week program because I wanted to try and fit it all in before my retreat. But because the retreat's not happening, I then took a step back and said, hang on a minute, there is so much I have to teach the girls here. So I'm just going to show up and give them even more value. I promoted this as a 5-week program. I'm now going to extend it to 8 weeks and it may even go over that. And I just want to give as much as possible. So I changed my offer slightly in terms of making it longer, but I also pushed the start date back by 2 weeks. Because those initial 2 weeks, the whole world, you know, no one knew really what was going on. And I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on with my situation. I could be, you know, trapped in America and not be able to get back for when the course is supposed to start. So I pushed everything back by 2 weeks. And actually, that was the best thing that I could have ever done. And now it's just kind of all full steam ahead. And I've got incredible girls who've enrolled. Everyone is so excited and they're like, yeah, this is the right time. And I'm ready to, you know, to make this investment in my business and move everything forward. So I loved what you said before, Helena, about giving, because that is how I associate sales. I don't see it as taking. I see it as an opportunity for you to give so much to your client, so that they can walk away from that experience thinking, wow, that is the best investment I ever made.
Absolutely. And I love that you just made some very small tweaks with something that you already had planned. And what that then did was put you back in alignment with it. And alignment is so key in whatever you're doing, however you're showing up, and whatever you are quote unquote selling, because people sense when you're out of alignment. But you just making that shift of like, hang on, maybe I need to give a little bit more value for this. Or you know what, this date isn't resonating with me anymore. I'm just going to push it and be flexible around it. Meant that you, when you did show up again, full steam ahead, everyone could sense I'm completely behind this and this feels completely right energetically.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's getting creative. It's just taking a step back and thinking, right, how can I make this work? What can I do? What feels good to me? What feels right? What am I aligned to?
So as the queen of Instagram, at Think Like a Boss, what are some of the tips and tools that you could share with my audience about how they could just be showing up authentically or using their platform during this time?
You know, Instagram is an incredible platform because A, it's free. B, there's over 2 billion users worldwide. C, consumption right now, ladies, is up by over 163%.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is, 163%. Okay, so there is so much opportunity for you here right now. You showing up is super important, obviously, through your feed by being consistent and posting daily, but more so through your Instagram stories and also going live on Instagram, because so many people are online right now. They're online because they are looking for leadership. They are looking to learn. They are looking for value. And by you keep showing up, you become more memorable to them. And then they think, oh, do you know what? Maybe if I dial on today again at 1 o'clock, if I'm on Instagram, maybe Helen is going to be online again today because I've noticed that she's been live every day for the last 3 days. Maybe she's going to do a fourth live this week. And boom, they see you live. And again, you know, they're connecting with you. They're starting to get to know you. You're building up that know, like, and trust factor with them. And not just on your own platforms as well, but it's also great to try and collaborate with others who are also in your niche as well. Leverage off one another's audiences. Offer to, you know, even do not necessarily shout outs, but do takeovers, do story takeovers on each other's feeds. Because that also gets more eyes onto you. And again, you're sharing your audiences, which is a beautiful thing when you, you know, when you connect and you collaborate. It's all about community over competition.
Yes, hashtag sisterhood over competition. Because, for example, let's take this as an example. Like, I'm having you on my podcast because we connect and share each other together on Instagram. And we have kind of a collective group of women that all live in different places. And we kind of all do the same for each other. Like, Maggie and I teach completely different things, but we can show up for each other's communities and share our own level of expertise. And it's never a case of, well, if Helena shows up on mine, then, you know, maybe there'll be less for me. It's not about that. So I love that people coming together, women sharing their value with each other is so powerful. And it lights me up every day, to be honest. What about the woman who is a little bit more scared of getting on camera and getting on video? Because I know you mentioned that was you in the beginning and it was totally me. Oh my gosh, my first ever YouTube videos and all of that was just a little cringy, but it's okay. I learned from all of it. What would you say to that woman that is listening right now who just wants the confidence and thinks she has to show up perfectly in order to show up at all?
Oh my God. Well, firstly, there's no such thing as perfect, okay?
True that.
Yeah, it's all about messy, imperfect action. It's your quickest route to success. It's the quickest way that you learn. But in terms of really building up your confidence, I would say get your phone out, go to the camera, hit the record button. Think about what the message is that you're trying to communicate or that you want to share with your audience, however big or however small. And speak into the camera. Play it on repeat. Record yourself 50 times if you have to until you get to the point where you are familiar with the subject that you're talking about and that you feel a lot more confident to show up on. Because practice does get you to the point where you feel more confident and you do get better at things. The more you do something, the easier it becomes and the more comfortable you feel and the more confident you are. So get your camera out. Record yourself 50 times you don't need to do it at 50, you could do it in 10 or 20, but just do it up to the point where you start to kind of relax and you're feeling a lot better about the message that you're trying to communicate.
Absolutely. I love that. Like just taking that first step, biting the bullet and going for it. And nobody even has to see it in the beginning because we have these tools where we can practice on.
Exactly.
I love listening to a really like uplifting Beyonce song before I have to go on and teach anything or go on video. Or I'll do the opposite and I'll meditate and I'll get really grounded in what I want my message to be. And that really helps center me so I can focus and kind of collect my energy and my nerves.
Love that.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Like, I feel like we could talk for ages, but I really want you to share with my audience where they can find you and what you're up to at the moment.
Best place to find me is going to be on Instagram. And my handle is @think_like_a_boss.co. So thinklikeaboss.co. And I'm on there every single day, both on my feed and on my stories. And also I have a website, which is www.thinklikeaboss.co.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. And what would you share? I guess I have one last question with one woman out there who wants to think like a boss. How do you define thinking like a boss for yourself?
Think about what the next level version of you looks like. Okay. So earlier today, I was talking about, right, ladies, it's time to get out of your sweatpants, right? Your sweatpants and hoodie, because the next level version of you commands so much more than that. The next level version of you feels abundant. She feels great in what she's wearing. She's wearing her sparkly jacket. She's wearing her nice trousers. I had a girl message me earlier who saw my stories and was like, I've been wearing my Christian Louboutins around the house. And yes, that is what the boss thinks like. So I always want you to think about, right, who is the next level version of me? What does she look like? How does she think? How does she speak to herself? How does she act? What language does she use? And then start to emulate her. And before you know it, you become her.
Ooh, that is so powerful and it really is the key to manifestation. So yes, ladies, all go out and journal on what that version of you looks like, how she walks, how she acts, how she behaves, what she dresses like, and start emulating her because she is you. And I just also want to point out that I put on my white guest jeans just to talk to Maggie today. I'm not wearing my sweatpants. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you everyone for listening and check out the next podcast coming up soon. Thank you so much, Maggie. If you loved today's episode, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes and hit the subscribe button because women supporting women is my jam. And if you want extra daily doses of motivation, then be sure to follow me on Instagram @girl_unfiltered. And go ahead and screenshot this episode, send me a DM and share your biggest takeaway because I love hearing from you and I just really want to drop into your DMs basically. So I'm sending you so much love and abundance and have an amazing day.